spirit is just cool. That's all I got to say. I told them in Sunday school that we shouldn't be shy about clapping in church and raising our hands. And then you get up and did what you did. Believe me, it was totally relevant. It was great. Amen. Take your Bibles, turn with me to Ecclesiastes. I almost called it like the old country preacher. He didn't know how to pronounce it. He called it Ex-Laxtices. So if you'll turn to Ex-Laxtices, Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Now, if she's saying amen, let her go. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. You've got to use your table of contents. Go ahead. Don't be ashamed. Go ahead. We had a discussion in Sunday school. We'll carry it over here. Just wanted to share with you some of the most popular New Year's resolutions. The number one in the United States is to exercise more, followed by its cousin, lose weight. And then to round out the triplets, to eat healthy. Behind that is stop smoking, work harder, etc. The truth is, within 3 months, the only ones that are still going are about 8% of those that made New Year's resolutions. And believe it or not, most give up within 3 weeks. Because the truth of the matter is, change is hard. It's not easy. We get in our groove, and that's where we like to stay. And sometimes we make promises to God, and we mean well at the time, but then we don't keep them. Well, let me caution you by looking with me in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. I'll read it first in the King James, and then I'll read it in the New Living as well. It says, "Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil." By the way, the sacrifice of fools is speaking unwisely or quickly in making promises to God. Verse 2, "Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God, for God is in heaven, and thou upon the earth. Therefore let thy words be few. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by the multitude of words. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better it is that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay." I'll read it to you out of the New Living. It says, "As you enter the house of God, keep your ears open and your mouth shut. It is evil to make mindless offerings to God. Don't make rash promises, and don't be hasty in bringing matters before God. After all, God is in heaven and you are here on earth, so let your words be few. Too much activity gives you restless dreams. Too many words make you a fool. When you make a promise to God, don't delay in following through, for God takes no pleasure in fools. Keep all the promises you make to Him. It is better to say nothing than to make a promise and not keep it." Let's pray. Father, we bow before you and thank you for what we've heard and experienced already in these final few minutes. God, help us to bring forth a word that will make a difference in someone's life today. And God, you know my heart. I don't want to stand here as a pointless, powerless preacher. I just want this to be a blessing, and I'm asking you to take it and use it, and that you would do so. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Now, there's some things I want you to remember as we move into 2018. We are all turning a new page in the chapter of our lives. We also need to let go of the past. We need to expect great things in the new year. And don't be afraid to embrace new things. I would tell you that I'm going to take up yoga, but I don't have the money for the hospital bills. Amen. To have something, this is interesting, I thought, to have something that you've never had, you have to do something that you've never done. And so, 2018 could be a year of great adventure, all right? C.S. Lewis said, "You're never too old to set another goal or to dream a new dream." On New Year's Eve, we should remember God's goodness and reflect on where we are spiritually. And also there's room in there for us to repent, but also to resolve. It's okay to make resolutions. This passage is not saying that you shouldn't. It's just saying if you do, keep your promises that you make to God. You think God keeps up with our promises we make to Him? Absolutely. And there's been many a promise made that hadn't been kept over the last year. Now, I'm not pointing fingers because I know that there are things that I wished I had done better. There are things that I wished I'd done more of. And some things I wished I'd done less of. Okay? And so we're all there. So we're all there together. But I do want to share some New Year's resolutions in closing today. With God's help, that we could and should stick with. The first one is resolve to study Scripture. In 2 Timothy it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Resolve to read and or listen through the entire Bible at least one time in the coming year. That seems hard, but it's really not. If you took 15 to 20 minutes a day and you can read through the Bible in a year, including all the begats that begat, that begat, that begat, that begat. I always wondered why that was in there and whether it was important or not. Well, it is, because without those begats, you wouldn't be here, and neither would I. Ignorance of Scripture is the root of all errors, somebody said. Where cults get recruits from most often are Bible-preaching churches, where people are not taking advantage of the truth that God has given. Now, some people say you can't retain much. They can't understand it, they say. They read through it, and they say, well, there's so much in there that I don't understand. Mark Twain said, it's not what I don't understand in the Bible that bothers me most, it's what I do understand. And the truth of the matter is, that's a fact for all of us. I had a brother-in-law who used to say that you may not be able to hold much water in a vegetable strainer, but if you keep pouring water through it, it'll be cleaner than if you didn't. So keep reading the Word. Stay in the Word. Now we need to feed on God's Word regularly. Anybody remember in the Old Testament how often did God give manna to the children of Israel? Every day. How often do you think you should feed on the Word of God? Every day. We need it, not just in church. Jesus taught us to ask God for our daily bread. And I think it includes this. And by the way, let me recommend to you a very simple and a great little devotional called Our Daily Bread. There's an app for it. You can even Google it, and it'll come up and it'll give you a daily devotion that you can listen to and passages of scriptures that you can read if you want to read through the Bible in the entire year. It's very, very simple. Really, nowadays, there's less reason for us not to read through the Word of God than any other time. There's more opportunities for us to do it. There's some simple guidelines to follow. Have a special place where you do it. Whether for me, I put a CD in and I listen to the Word of God on my way to work, or a devotion on the way to work. Since I work in Murfreesboro, it gives me a ton of time to do that. And I believe some of it, when I do that, is sticking. It helps me when I get up here to recall some verses and some scripture. So let me encourage you to have a special place where you do that. Make a special priority, a time when you do it, and a special plan. Have a systemic way you read through the Word of God. Start anywhere you want to. Use any plan you want to, but have a plan. Because if you don't have a plan, you won't stick with it. So let me recommend that you do that. It's interesting that we also need a special prayer involved. Ask God to help you to understand what you're reading. So resolve to study Scripture. And I know people say they don't have time. Let me talk about time for a minute. At the stroke of midnight tonight, you would have had 8,760 hours in 2017 to do whatever you wanted to do. Interesting. I won't get down into the nitty-gritty, but I'll simply say that 3,000 hours of that were involved in sleeping, eating, and hygiene. 2,400 were work and commuting back and forth. Now it's interesting, that leaves 3,360 hours. Most people under 20 years old, I want you to listen closely to this, most people under 20 years old spend 70% of the remaining time on an electronic device, whether it's their phone, whether it's a tablet, whether it's a computer, a PC, a laptop, 70%. Now, if you do the math on that, that's at least another 2,350 hours or 60 hours. That only needs 1,000 hours for you to do anything else, including time for God. Now, let me kind of put in perspective for you. How much time does church give you? Well, do you know that we meet usually for Sunday school, church, and Wednesday night, roughly 3 hours a week? That's 156 hours a week out of 8,760. That's really not very much. But if you're not taking advantage of those 3 hours, how much are you getting when it comes to the Word? Now, I'm not bragging on myself, but I will say this, that God has given me a love for His book. I love the Bible. On Wednesday night, we have a time, and we enjoy it. At least I do. It's probably one of my favorite times. It's more laid back. It's opportunity sometimes. Some people make off-the-wall comments. Normal. Excuse me. But no, she does. She has some great questions sometimes. I pick on her. Faye's the other one, but not, I'm not going to name any names this morning to embarrass anybody. But no, we have a great time doing that. And sometimes it brings out something that may head in a little different direction. But we take that time to go through the Word. And those of you that come regularly on Wednesday night, raise your hand if God has taught you anything over the last year on Wednesday night. Raise your hand. Amen. And it's taught me, because don't forget, I have to study before I bring it to you. That's what it means when it says study to show yourself approved. Because you can just say, I'm going to get up and let the Lord open my mouth and I'm going to let Him fill it. But you've got to be real careful about it. You know, sometimes it just fills it with whatever you studied. And if you haven't studied, it may fill your mouth with a lot of nothing. So prepare for it. Study the Word. Every one of us need that, not just preachers and teachers. You and I need the Word. The Bible says, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. So let me say this. You can do the math if you want to. And if all you're coming and Bible study is Sunday morning worship, you're getting 1 hour a week. How many weeks are there in the year? Don't get this one wrong. 52. So you're getting 52 hours of Bible study. If you don't have any personal time involved, I'm just going to tell you, how in the world can you survive? How in the world, if you only came to the table and ate 1 day a week, you would not only get sick, you'd probably die. We need spiritual food. Let me encourage you to do that, to get involved with the Word of God. Secondly, resolve to share the story of Jesus. Be a visible witness. Live a life that is different, that is separated. I don't mean, ladies, that you cannot wear makeup. I do not mean, fellas, that you've got to dress like an Amish person. I don't mean that. What I'm saying is, though, live such a life that people know that you're a Christian. And you don't have to wear a big sign. You don't have to carry a family Bible under your arm and say, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian. Let me tell you something. If you live the life, people are going to know that you're different. That's what Jesus meant when He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father that's in heaven. As a matter of fact, in Peter's gospel, Peter said, you and I need to be ready to give an answer to people concerning that hope that's within us. In other words, when somebody comes up to you and says, didn't you just have a relative die or go through a tragedy? And you say, yes. Say, well, I was noticing, man, you just seem to have a peace about you. That's where you speak up and say, that's because I know Christ is my Savior, and I don't know what tomorrow will hold, but I know who holds tomorrow. So there should be a difference in our lives. A verbal witness, say something. Don't get spiritual lockjaw. It's interesting how many people will throw off different things. I've heard this over the years, and it's crazy. We've taught people not to discuss politics or religion, and I'm here to tell you, the lack of doing that properly is killing all of us. You've got to be able to describe and lay out what you believe and why you believe it and stand by it. Amen? Then we need to resolve to support the Savior. He's got a purpose for the universal church. Now, let me say this. Universal church doesn't have to do with a denomination. It doesn't have to do with that. It's every church that's preaching the Lord Jesus and is preaching Bible truth. And that they stand for truth wherever they are. Whether they're in the catacombs underneath some lonely place in the sewers of Beijing where they're hiding to teach the gospel because of the government there, the repressive government, or even worse, in North Korea, where it's a death sentence if you're caught with a scripture. My goodness, listen, you and I have it easy in comparison, don't we? We certainly do. But give a verbal witness. Give a vital witness. By that I mean speak up at key times when moved by God and be a living and loving witness for Christ. I remember this one fellow, when he was new, he'd get aggravated and the first thing he'd say is Jesus. And finally I asked him, finally he said that, I said, let me ask you a question. I said, what did Jesus do to you? He just looked at me. I said, do me a favor. Don't blame Jesus for everything that goes wrong in your life. Please. And of course, he just looked at me like stunned. But I'll tell you this, it did stop. And I wasn't trying to make myself look better than him or anything like that. But we need to have a time when we do open our mouth and stand for what we believe. And the part of the problem is, I'll be honest with you, Christians too long have sat there and said nothing and let this world run straight to hell like a rock through a spider web, and we've done nothing to warn them, nothing to slow them down. Listen, if somehow one of the bridges got washed out on 41 Highway, a major bridge, let's say, it might have been over a small creek, not much, but I guarantee you if it's 15 feet off the ground and the bridge is only 15 feet wide, and a car is running 60 miles an hour on it, you think if the bridge is out, somebody would get hurt? Well, let me tell you something. In this world, the bridge is out, and you and I have been put in the road to stop traffic and say, stop. Don't go to hell. There's a better way. Come to Christ. And so we need to have a verbal witness, a vital witness, a visible witness. And then finally, again, resolve to support the Savior, His universal church, but also the local church. How do we support the local church? Well, first of all, in attendance. Be here. It was interesting when Peter went to speak to Cornelius, the Gentile, and he came there. The Lord sent him there. Cornelius is a centurion. Man, he is a soldier's soldier. And what he does in front of this Jew, who was looked at by them as being less than dogs in most Roman circles, he goes to Peter and he sits down with his family, puts Peter up front, and here's what he said. We are now here present to hear what God has to say. That's the same way we ought to treat church. First of all, we got to be here. I've heard people say, well, preacher, I'll be there in spirit. Well, that's kind of spooky to me. Churches are spooky anyway at night, amen? You ever been to church at night? I mean, no lights on, come in here. You hear all kinds of things. Now, I'm going to say this. Y'all didn't warn me, so I'm going to tell you. One of the first times I came here at night by myself, I was changing out the church sign. I went into my study, Gary, and I'm sitting there. Nobody warned me about the compressor on that refrigerator in the back. Everything's quiet. I'm sitting up there looking up ideas for the church sign. All of a sudden that thing goes, those are the fingernails in the ceiling tiles in my study. Scare me. Church can be spooky. I don't want your spirit wandering around here. You need to have your warm body in the seat. And listen, how many hours a year are we talking about? If you came to Sunday school Wednesday night, Sunday morning, 3 hours a week, 156 hours a year. We spend more time in front of the television set and on our phone on Facebook than that. God help us. No wonder spiritually we get weak. Now, you may be the super Christian that can thrive on coming once a week. I can't. I got to have more food than that, don't you know, to maintain this boyish figure. I got to eat more often than that. And so we need to be in God's house and support what Jesus supports. Guess what Jesus said about the church? He loved it, and he gave himself for it. You think Jesus comes to church? He's here right now. The Bible says, where two or three are gathered, I'm in the midst. In my name, he said, I'm in the midst. I believe he's here. He's the unseen, honored guest, and I guarantee he's here. And you know what? I'm awful glad that you're here today and not just your spirit. Again, that would be way spooky. I remember one time, another story. I was in a church in Ohio. It had a separate Sunday school wing and a gymnasium that was all basically had the church and had the gymnasium. And it was probably the spookiest church I ever pastored. I was there by myself in the back hallway. There were three sets of lights on down this hallway. There were like six sets, but I only had three of them turned on. I could see. Faye, I came out of my office. I turned the corner to go to the auditorium. There's a little inset here. One of my Sunday school teachers who also did children's church, she was about your size, no joke. Her name was Charlotte. And Miss Charlotte, she would talk like this. Hello, Brother Jim. That's the way she talked. I come to that alcove, and all of a sudden I heard, hello, Brother Jim. Woo! And a Pentecostal fist. So please, don't just send your spirit here. Please, come with your body, all right? Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Yeah, it was not a pretty sight. Of course, poor Miss Charlotte, I think it scared her, me screaming like an eighth grade girl, worse than she screamed, scared me. I mean, she fell against the wall and went like this. I almost swung at her. So I would have missed because she's Faye's height. But anyway, yeah, amen. So, yeah, thank you, Lisa. That was a joke. Her name just went off. In our giving, let's be supportive of the local church. And most of you are. So this may be preaching to the choir. But let me encourage you to follow the word. And Malachi says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Then in service, we do have great workers. We're up there talking about all the talent we had on the stage this morning. And I was over there thinking, look, he can play the drums, he plays guitar, and look at that. You know, they can do this, and I'm thinking all that. And I'm sitting over here thinking the whole time, the only thing I can play is a radio. Anyway, never mind. But in service, give what you have to the Lord and use it for his glory. And finally, resolve to make supplication in the Spirit. And here's where I want to finish this morning. Make sure that you have regular prayer. I had decided back in October, on Wednesday nights, we write down the prayer requests. And I've got the book. It's right in here. And in this book, it goes all the way back to when I first became your pastor, be 3 years ago, next month, January month. And in this book, I wrote down prayer requests from every Wednesday night that we've had. It's amazing to go through here and look at what God answered and how he answered it. You know, in virtually every single case, God gave an answer of some sort, one or another, to those requests that were given. I want to encourage you, start a prayer journal. Just get a dollar, maybe less than a dollar at the dollar store. Get one. And go in there and put today's date, and I'll tell you what you do. You know more to pray about than you think. Start with every member of your family that you can think of by name. Then below that, start with every church member you know by name. Then below that, think of people you work with. Then write about situations in your life that you want prayer with. And let me challenge you to do this. I want to challenge you to do that and then just add on to the end of that prayer journal. So when God gives you new things, just put the next date down and beside that and whatever else comes to mind to pray on. And then start this. And it gets lengthy. Start praying for every single thing in that prayer journal from the first date all the way down through, and put a line through what God has already answered. You will be amazed. But the problem is we have these general prayers, not specific. God watch over all the missionaries in Mongolia. We don't know any missionaries in Mongolia. We don't know what they do, what they don't do. But how about praying this? God make a way for Leah to get to Guatemala, which I know you've already done because you called her to do it. And God keep her safe when she's there and watch over her. And make a way, God, and show us what to do. Help and guide us. You see where I'm coming from? Be specific. Pray for Bill and Kay. Pray for the other ministries we support. Blue Monarch. So there's tons of stuff to pray about. But what you'll find out, what you try on your own without it being on paper, you pray through everything you know in about 2 minutes. I remember when I went to Bible college, we had this guy come in. Great, eloquent speaker. Nothing like me. I know, amen. But he came in and he talked about prayer, and he went on about all the prayers that you can do during the day and how long it could be. And so I decided to try it, and I sat down and remember getting beside my bed, and I said, God, I'm going to spend 30 minutes in prayer with you every day. So I got down beside my bed. I prayed for everything I knew and some stuff I didn't. And I looked at my watch. It had been 5 minutes. Don't set a time, but set it down on paper. Set it down on paper, and you will be amazed how God answers as you look back over that journal. And not only that, you are changing somebody's life. In 2018, why don't you plan to be the answer to somebody's prayer? Plan to be the answer to somebody's prayer. Leah's praying, God, help me to know how to get to Guatemala, how to raise enough to get there. Be an answer to her prayer. When the church does something, get involved in it to help support missions. Be part of the answer. But let me encourage you to also do this. Have not only regular prayer, but resolute prayer. Now, you may not know this, but Queen Victoria gave the President of the United States a desk. It's called the Resolute Desk. It's been used by several presidents over the years, yes, including the last one. And it's resolute in that it's to be a place where a person will make bold, steady, and marked by firm determination decisions that will change life. Have resolute prayer. Don't be afraid to pray big prayers. How big is our God? He is big, man. You can't outbid God. And you can't out ask God, and you can't out give God. So get there and have resolute prayers. Pray for things that are beyond your ability, but not beyond God's. So have regular prayer, resolute prayer, then have relentless prayer. The Bible says pray without ceasing. You pray and pray and pray. Jesus said to be in prayer like the woman that came and said to the judge, I want you to vindicate me. And he said, don't bother me. She would not shut up. She just kept on and kept on and kept on. Finally, the judge said, okay, you're wearing me out. Here, I'll do it. And he said, now that was an earthly judge. How much better will God do if you and I get behind something in prayer and resolutely, relentlessly take it before the throne of God in prayer? Amen. I want you to start praying for somebody that lives within easy driving distance of this church, that God would put their hands on them, that God would deal with them and draw them. Also, our prayers should be, as I said, recorded. Keep up with it so you know what you've asked and you know when God answers it. And keep up with it. So let me just give you quickly these resolutions that we all ought to have and that by God's grace I'm going to try to keep in 2018. I want to resolve to study the Scripture. I want to resolve to share the story. I want to resolve to support the Savior and His church. I'm going to resolve to make supplications in the Spirit. And you know what? Every one of us can do that. And more than 8% of us can finish 2018 having kept those resolutions. Amen. Would you stand with me? It's been a great day to be in the house of the Lord. And my prayer for you and your family is that you would have an amazing and abundant new year in Christ. I appreciate the music today. It was spot on, spoke to my heart, gave me an opportunity to worship, and I really, really thoroughly appreciate it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And as we dismiss in prayer, I'm going to ask Brother Medford, if he will, to dismiss us.
Father, we just thank you for a beautiful sunny day. Thank you, Lord, for all you've been for us. Lord, just go with us as we go to separate places. Watch over us and guide us. Forgive us, Lord, when we fall.